This show is a member of the Sorgatron Media Podcast Network. Find out more at sorgatronmedia.com. This show is brought to you by Slice on Broadway, supporting Pittsburgh podcasting with the perfect pepperoni pizza. Production services by Sidekick Media Services. And listeners like you, supporting us at patreon.com/awesomecast.
It's time to get awesome. I'm Mike Sorg at Sorgatron on the interwebs here in Adrian, Michigan. I literally got in about an hour and a half before this, and I am here, and we are ready to do show. This setup is ridiculous. Thankfully, I have a lot of stuff. I'm here for a really fun streaming event. Actually, back to an event where we're doing something new with Formula SAE. Maybe I'll talk about that a little bit here later in the episode. But with me, I do have, and hopefully I have audio going through and everything. I'm going to double check in a moment because first I need... we have Dave Ponder with us, my running buddy, my running mate, if you will, joining us. How you doing, sir?
Not doing good, metal buddy.
Metal buddy, yes.
Metal buddy.
Good to see.
Tapping metal.
Yes, absolutely. yes, we did. We'll talk about the Pittsburgh Marathon here in a little bit. So really happy to be a part of that. Kind of a last minute news, but we'll talk about that story in a moment. Also, back with us on the show, the Chilla is with us. Gadget Guru, Big Bank International.
How are Esquire. You?
How you doing, sir?
Too far away.
From very far away.
Did you run all the way there?
Yes, I ran all the way over here. Yes, absolutely.
It's a very long relay.
Absolutely. Oh, I'm checking my levels here, making sure you guys got plenty of levels out there. I don't know if I have enough going out to everybody, so I'm just double checking those right now. We're bringing those back up. Hello, there we go. Probably better levels out there on the stream. But anyways, I'm going to take off both of my headphones. But chill, we got a lot to talk about. Of course, I've been running around getting ready to do this event here tonight. And of course, there were some big announcements today. I think that should be the lead here. This is going to be kind of a not regular format. We don't have all the tools and the bells and whistles and things like that, but I figure we'll just have fun and kind of talk about it, like two or three things that are the big things of the day. Maybe a shorter episode. We'll see how the conversation goes. Well, we got everybody and everything seems smooth. I mean, you guys look great on the hotel Wi-Fi, by the way. So we are streaming live view, so we should be, at least I should be very reliable going out. So Chilla, tell me, what happened today, Chilla?
There were... new iPads.
New iPads? Was it just new iPads? That's all we got? What?
Well, you
got iPads. Sorry, go ahead.
I would say new iPads and accessories for iPads.
Ooh, okay. So
new keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
You got the new pencil.
Mm-hmm.
There's the new glass option.
Okay.
On the iPad. Pro only if you buy a terabyte or higher and you're willing to spend an extra $100.
All right, I'm going to pull up the website here and see where we're at with all this. Okay.
It's interesting, the pencil only works with the new iPad. What I couldn't glean is, does the old pencil work with the new iPad?
It does.
Keyboard only works with the new iPad. But does an old keyboard work with the new iPad? Like, I couldn't glean some of the things. Like, and I'm not going to lie, I was not 110% focused. But it was very interesting. Like, the new accessories only work with the new iPad, but some old accessories are compatible.
So a tremendous mishmash. It sounds like of accessories here.
I think if you looked at every different configuration across the lineup, someone said, was there 48?
Yeah, there's 48 different iPads now.
What?
That's if you do the iPad mini.
Okay.
iPad by itself, Air Pro, the different sizes with the Airs and the Pros, and the different colors.
Okay.
And the different capacities.
Okay, yeah.
So, but what you think about it, it's not like that any of those are modular, so that means that Apple's keeping
that many
48
in stock.
Different iPad models in stock and in the supply chain.
Yeah, we're taking a look at here if you guys are on the video version of this or you're not in the Zoom because we don't have a loop back here. So, I mean, it's just the general. So we have a new iPad, iPad Air, iPad Pro. And are these the ones I heard a rumor going into it that these were going to be the M4 chip? Yes, your 13 and 11 inch iPad Pro has the M4 chip. This is the first thing with the debuting M4 chip. I saw a headline that says that with the new keyboard, it's basically a MacBook or feels like it for the most part.
Well, especially with the M4 chip where they really pushed it being designed with AI in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So they're really pushing. And but to be honest, if you're an average person,
mm-hmm.
the Air is good enough.
Absolutely.
Because the Air now has the M2. They skipped the M1. They went right to the M2.
Is that going to run Final Cut?
I think it'll run because the old Pro used to.
Okay.
But the new Pro will run it smoother, obviously, because being M4, and there's a lot of the AI stuff that'll just run snappier.
Okay.
In fact, they had with Final Cut Pro 2... because they redid it from last year, so now there's a version 2.
Okay.
And same thing with what's the audio one called?
Logic, I believe.
Yeah. Now Logic, and they added some AI things into there.
Mm-hmm.
That are kind of now from someone not being a professional. Some of the stuff they can do sounds kind of mind blowing.
Yes. Okay.
In Logic, where that you just put in a track, and it'll separate it into four different parts.
Ooh.
So you'll have your lead vocal, I think your background vocal, and then two of the instrumental tracks somehow. I think maybe drum gets separated from the rest, and it'll automatically separate those tracks out.
So is this the is this the AI that we're talking about here?
Yeah.
Okay. So
that's the AI is part of Logic Pro. And I think it's just, it makes it a lot quicker because all that's being done on chip and there's special parts of the chip design just for AI and machine learning.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the 11 inch iPad Pro is under an inch thick.
Wow.
No, I'm sorry. It's under a pound. I'm sorry. It was under a pound.
I wonder are these going to get hot?
Yeah, 0.5. You're right. Yeah. I was getting the ones mixed up there. Sorry, Jella. You're right. It's under a pound, which for 11 inches of glass.
I still have the original iPad Pro. It's actually charging over there because the battery is not great. And I charge it up every time I go travel because I want to watch TV on it because I never want to bother connecting things to the hotel TV anymore. These new ones with the Chilla, have you had your hands on any of these with the M chips? Do they get excessively hot or anything? I know the M chips are supposed to be really good about heat. I've never noticed anything with my MacBook Pro M1, for instance. Do they get a little heated when you run these things?
I've never. So I have the 11.9 iPad Pro with the M2. So I had what was current gen until today. I will say no, I've never had it get hot. I've never had anything occur like that. And I mean, I've played games, I've compressed video, I've hooked up external drives. Like I've given it, and mine's a cellular, so I've kind of run its gambit. I use it for work. I remote into stuff like. Works extremely well, very low heat. The interesting thing to me is, and I'm interested to, they talked about how the new keyboard is lighter. I'm interested to actually feel what that feels like because iPad Pro by itself is pretty darn light. I feel like the keyboard is the same weight as the iPad. And that's where, and I'm guessing that's from a weight it's also from a weight perspective because they need the base of it to suspend the thing on the magnets.
At least a little bit, right?
So I'm interested to, but I feel like the device overall with the keyboard on is heavy for what you would expect.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested. I'm very interested in what this would feel like. And I'm very upset that they didn't make the keyboard work with the prior generations. That seems like a, mm-hmm. an oversight.
So
I think it's something they could have achieved.
Also interesting. I want to make sure we mention in the chat room, Amanda's in there in San Diego. It says the magnets on the back of the, you're talking about accessories before, Potter. The magnets on the back of the new iPad don't line up with the old keyboards. So it is a one-to-one, like there's enough that change sense. With it. So it, there's not a lot of crossover, but I feel like there shouldn't, I think the way there's like, no, you need the thing of this generation to do this kind of thing. Like I think that's an expected thing with Apple these days. So I don't think that's,
like, yeah. I've kept my keyboard in prior generations. Like that's what.
Sure. But I think we're getting away from that. You know, I mean, they're changing the form factors up. You know, it's like, you know, I mean, we were, you know, I was kind of surprised because Katie and I were going on about, God, I can't remember what accessory we were looking at where her iPhone 15. You know, it seems like they should have not changed too much over the last several years and iterations. But that her iPhone 15 Pro Max is actually a different shape than my iPhone 13 Pro Max. So mm-hmm. like there is like there it seemed in it does seem like it's ever so slight to probably, you know, it probably has to do with antennas and chips and stuffing everything in there and some design things have to do. Like I don't think it's a we're doing this just so we can sell more keyboards because you can't use your old one or anything like that necessarily. Nice side effect for the cost benefit analysis, I'm sure. But still, like I think it is more of a design situation than anything else. So.
And that is something we found from Apple over the years is they mm-hmm. really don't care about, you know, if they chop off an older customer base because your case doesn't work, they really don't care about that.
No, absolutely not.
You know, the fact that, first of all, if you're looking at new iPads now, the home button's gone
mm-hmm.
because they got rid of in the old iPad, the base model.
Mm-hmm.
They dropped the old base model and they reduced the price of the of what used to be just plain iPad.
Yeah,
I think 10th gen. They dropped it $100 to $350, and they're all face. In the iPad Air is not Face ID; it's got the fingerprint reader on the power button. The
fingerprint sensors.
Yeah, which you're like.
I have that on one of the minis.
Yeah. And it's like, why can't they do that on like other things?
Right. Right.
Or give both options somehow. You know, yeah, it'd be yeah. nice to give. I know security and simplicity, but yeah, it'd be mm-hmm. nice. But
so tell me about what, you know, is there anything specific about the iPads, the Airs? Are they just kind of a general refresh? Obviously, we have the M2s in the Airs, so you get a little bit of that power again. You know, but is there anything else of note that we should be thinking about when we go that? I obviously the pros have like the, you know, multi cameras that we see on the Max, mm-hmm. the Max phones, and from the Air down
well,
it's
no,
a single
they're down to single.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They get rid of the ultra wide on the iPad Pros.
Okay.
Oh
yeah. So I see a wide in the 4K. So it doesn't look like. Yeah. I don't know. It looks relatively like at least a two lens situation. Like it's
well,
got that kind of block.
It's the LiDAR. It's the LiDAR.
Ah, that's what I'm looking at. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You're seeing the LiDAR there. So
and everything
it's actually,
everything else is a 12 megapixel wide camera, 4K video. Mm-hmm. Well, everything kind of says that. It just says ProRes on the pros, it looks like. So.
Right. Mm. And the difference is with the pros, with the new pencil,
mm-hmm.
you can do the. And I think this is why you can't use the new pencil with the old, because I think there's something built into it. It's more than just software.
Yes.
Where you have the hover.
Yes.
And you can squeeze the pencil to select items in a picture, let's say,
mm-hmm.
to select and move it without hitting the screen.
Sure.
Or as you're painting, you can twist the pencil and it's like you're twisting a brush and it'll get wider.
So, and they do say that, it looks like across the board. No, actually this is different across the board. It's kind of all over the place. Your Airs and the Pros support the Pencil Pro and then the USB-C mm-hmm. version. The iPad is the USB-C and the first gen and then second gen and USB-C for the mini. That's really interesting. Yeah. So, how kind of seems relatively random that is. So so other than that, the new pencil, obviously there's going to be some features with it, and then new keyboards. You know, anything special about, you know, what else is special about the, you know, the pencils and the keyboards? I've never honestly used the Apple Pencil. I mean, I'm not a drawer. My handwriting is complete crud. I don't know what the kind of the appeal of this is necessarily.
Well, I'll say this. I was listening to Scott Johnson on the morning stream, and he's an artist, mm-hmm. being a cartoonist. He's like,
yeah, and that's who this is for.
Yeah. So basically where he used to have Wacom tablet or Wacom mm-hmm. tablet or however it's pronounced, he's like, yeah, I don't need that. I use this now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
As an artist, this is what he uses. He uses the pencil and his iPad, and it's cheaper than a Wacom, Wacom tablet.
Malengo, who used to be on this show a decade ago, you know, he would use it too. I remember he was doing live drawings when we tried to do a Comic-Con booth or Steel City Con booth mm-hmm. Ages ago. And he tried to do, live drawings with it. And it's just like it was a giant monitor at that time, mm-hmm. right? So, and obviously they probably thinned down a little bit, but you know, this really does kind of like, it really does replace that. Yeah. I don't know how that company's doing right now. Can't be good when there's something like this on the market. So
no, not really.
They do have a handy find the Apple Pencil that works with your iPad. Oh my gosh, look at this list. Holy hell. Well, let's see. My where's
even to use the device.
What's that?
Even to use the device as an external touchscreen, mm-hmm. I think works extremely well.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Whether you're mm-hmm. using it whether you're using it with another Apple device and you're using the built-in stuff, or even if you're using something like Duet Display.
Yeah. Yeah.
The device, whether you're in, obviously it works with the pencil and everything like that. It works extremely well. So even if you wanted to bring the touchscreen type experience, not just to the Apple native apps, but bring it to other things. And that squish, I think in one of the demos that I saw, it was actually allowing you to pull up additional menus, to pull up kind of your artist palette, bring things in from the side. Like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I could see a lot of use for that, especially as someone that likes to whiteboard and kind of mind map things out. My way of working, even as something as simple as creating a slide deck, I'm often drawing the wireframe out with like some of my key notes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I literally take an image capture of it and put it in PowerPoint and work on top of that image and then delete the image from the background.
Hmm.
So depending on your workflow, I just find a lot of value in the pencil. I also find a lot of value in the keyboard, primarily from the trackpad.
Mm-hmm. So, and I'm looking at the keyboard now, too.
I'm interested in playing some games on it as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Play some Assassin's Creed, right? I'm also looking at the keyboard here, and I'm looking at the one for the iPad Pro, and I'm looking at next to the iPad or the MacBook Pro that I have you guys in on Zoom, and I was like, wait a minute, this like it looks basically the same thing. Like, you couldn't tell me mm-hmm. this wasn't a MacBook from looking down on it here, other than that little bit of that bevel situation.
But you have a side view of it.
Yeah, yeah. It was a top-down view of it. It's a top-down view that they're showing on the website. Yeah, and the side. Oh my God, the side view. Yeah, it's so thin.
the floating.
Yes, that's incredible.
That's kind of how it floats, and I really like the floating feature and like how kind of push it down a little bit, and it does look more like a clamshell versus the tilted up and just using it, you know, as a tablet, but.
Yep.
But I'm not sure I need the function keys.
It is nice.
I would say the large trackpad would be nice.
Sure. It is nice that it is really nice that they have this tool, because it is they're acknowledging how confusing their lineup is mm-hmm. kind of getting right now, because it is like, hey, here's every supported model. And like, I keep pulling up my first generation 12.9 inch iPad Pro, and it's just telling me, you know, compatible with Bluetooth keyboards from Apple and third parties. Not, you know, hey, I don't get the fancy ones, but at least like it's giving me like, hey, go look over here, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And even down to the iPad 10th generation, it has you know, the folios listed and things like that. So like they're you know, I think that's really good that they do have this key, because this is confusing, and there are a lot of different things, and I don't, man. Yeah, that's kind of an issue, but also they're kind of taking care of it at the same time, right? So, but anyways, anything else out of this? It was basically just an iPad day.
Well, I'll say the one kind of mind blowing thing was when they were showing Final Cut Pro doing the live 4-camera switching.
Like the playback switching, like.
No. You actually could have 4 iPhones.
No.
Shooting, and on your iPad, you have live streams from the 4 iPhones, and you can switch between them, and.
Like camera live, one, camera live, two. Live. So live here. To tape production, you're telling me.
Yep.
That changes a lot of things,
and that's even. And I've been playing around with the new Elgato where, like, I can take my iPad, and if I want to stream of any HDMI source, I can record or stream right to the iPad.
Mm. Yep. It's
I even have the USB-C to HDMI reverse device where you need, there's some special apps out there that you gotta go find, but my iPad can become an HDMI monitor with a very simple USB-C.
Oh, really?
Adapter, where you think normally you're thinking like, hey, I'm plugging that in and I'm outputting to HDMI. They make inverted. There's two good ones that I found where they make an inverted cable where it's bringing HDMI and USB-C, and it's just
USB-C though. So this is not going to work with my old Lightning iPads, because I've wanted to be like, hey, these old iPads, I want them to be monitors, not something that comes in over Wi-Fi, something that I can actually plug in and just make it a monitor, right? Because they're good screens, right? So Amanda's also saying, oh, and the control for iPhones from the iPad for the Final Cut. Like zoom and cinematic focus, man. I don't have a functional reason to get into this that I found yet that justifies the price of getting a minimum $1,000 iPad Pro plus a subscription for the new Final Cut. But man, I want to play with it so bad, right?
Well, I'll also say on the iPad, the Final Cut is $5 a month.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, it's reasonable.
I'm paying more for CapCut right now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know,
well, okay. Also to do what they call live multicam, you have to download, and I don't know if it's available yet. I tried searching earlier today, a new app called Final Cut Camera.
Okay.
So that will label the live monitoring and individual control of each video feed.
Okay.
So on your iPad, you'll be able to control the zoom and everything. So the individual people holding the iPhones don't have to worry about the zoom. You as a director on the iPad control the zoom. Users, and with the new camera, you can adjust the ISO, nice. Shutter speed, focus peaking.
This replaces, because I just, again, talking with our friends at Your Jagoff, they do Switcher Studio, which is basically this live to tape kind of situation here for what they do for those Friday night shows that we talked about Dutters being on there a few weeks ago. Like, you could replace that with a Final Cut situation like this. That's amazing. That's really cool.
And also you'll be able to, and I'm reading off Apple's website here just to get to, 4 different angles of a single scene. Let's see here, blah, 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 blah. Each live camera feed can have settings adjusted right from Final Cut Pro for the iPad. Editable preview clips are immediately passed through and replaced with full resolution files in the background.
Wow.
So yeah, you can.
Is that limited to the new iPad with the M4, or could you do like two cameras on the M2?
It doesn't say. But because it says here with the M4 and the new Pro, final rendering is faster. And it says editors can take advantage of support up to 4 times more streams than with the M1. But it doesn't say, it doesn't specifically say what's available or not. Also, the Final Cut Camera app will be available as a standalone. So if you wanted just a video, and this isn't a photo, this is video only, with a lot more control than you get with the built-in camera app. say Blackmagic.
Yeah,
say
like Blackmagic camera. Yeah, yeah.
This is basically, yeah, because you'll be able to switch between the zooms, manual focus, the different frame rates, doing ProRes, all that in the camera app. So you can just use it as a video camera app.
I want to, you know what, I also want to, you know, while we're on that note, because I know I put this in the Facebook group earlier this week, we talked about the Blackmagic camera app, and I think I had shown somebody else about that. Even when I am giving somebody a piece of hardware, the Blackmagic Video Assist, I tell them, go download this app and get used to it so you understand when I hand you this device how it works, right? Because it's the same format. So if you understand, oh, this is here, these buttons are here, here, and here, you can adapt easily if I start handing you hardware from Blackmagic. So we're like, oh, this is iPhone only, but apparently, yes, Blackmagic is bringing that free camera app to the Android. So that is going to be very, very big for our Android friends out there. I am very interested to see how this works. Obviously, if I ever find my cheap Android phone, I try to play with that. It's lost somewhere along the way when I was packing in March. I'm still paying for it. I gotta see if I got lost or stolen on that thing. But anyways, yeah. So I'm loving that. We'll see how that pans out. You know, and I'm really curious to see how the Blackmagic app goes on Android because it's so all over the place as far as equipment. And not everybody has great, you know, cameras or anything on their phones. You know, but you know, if you got a good Samsung phone, that's going to be a killer app for you guys out there. So that's great. So
I was impressed with the 10x zoom on the Samsung. I have an older S22.
Mm-hmm.
And there's times where I actually pull the Samsung device out to snap a picture or take a video. If it's far away, anything else, I'm very happy with the iPhone. But the zoom, the physical zoom on the Samsung devices is really nice.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, want to give a shout out to our friends at Slice on Broadway, and not supporting, of course, here in Adrian, Michigan this week, because we're all over the place, but they're supporting us for over a decade. So thank you, everybody that does support us over there. And I was trying to pull up everything so we can thank our Patreon supporters. I know you guys haven't been getting a lot of Patreon this week because of the travel schedule. It's been a lot harder for us to do a little extra content. We'll be back in studio next week, so I'm hoping we'll be back to normal at least for 1 week until... Unfortunately, we're going to have to take a week off. Thanks. I'm taking a vacation, guys, an intentional vacation. You know, we go places when we're traveling here for work and things like that, because we're very fortunate, you know, take the time and say, hey, okay, you know, we're here, let's go to X. But we're actually going to a family vacation. The Sorgs and the Dudderses are hanging out and going to Dollywood. So I'm sure we'll talk about that. But thank you, everybody, to support the show. In the meantime, at patreon.com/awesomecast, our friends at the Coffee Club level, Cynthia Klosky, at the Family Show level, Michael Fedor, Matt Weller, John DeGore, and Dave Potter, spouse of Roost Earlier Fair at roostearlierfair.com. Thank you, everybody, that does support the show there. And speaking to you, Potter.
Yes.
I joined your world this week.
You did.
Katie, whoa, there's lightning outside. So if we lose this show live, well, I hope I have enough battery backups, but the internet will probably go down for the Zoom. But anyways, wow, yeah, that's some storminess going on out there. I feel like I'm like there's like a yard back here and stuff and a barn. I'm at a Holiday Inn, but anyways, I'm like literally on the edge of town. There's nothing. It's all farm. And then I came to my hotel and then everything's across the street. It was crazy. Katie, of course, we talked about last week. She was doing the marathon, on behalf of 412 Thrive, a great organization that she works with. And I'm not logged in on this computer, but I can still kind of show some of the pictures here. There's actually a wrestling picture in between here, so bear with me here. She wanted to get some people for the relay team, and then my camera keeps going to sleep here. She's got the relay team going on. She needed some extra bodies. So I was like, you know, if you don't get anybody, I'll do it. How many? 3 miles? 3 miles? I could probably pull off 3 miles. I don't know. I've been working out, you know, in some manner here. She talked me into it, and I got to join the Pittsburgh Marathon for the first time. You can see pictures on the right and left there. Riz joined as well. I think he's still recovering for the most part. Did the piece of really? I love this. You warned me. Katie warned me that I'm gonna want. I'm like, as soon as I'm done, I'm gonna want to do it next year. And damn it, yes, I wanted. I guess we just got my lightning notification for the one I just saw. But no, yes, I absolutely want to do this again. I want to do this next year. As long as the schedules work out with what we're doing with our clients and everything. It was just a relay. It was only 3 miles. But I had so much fun doing it. It was just seeing the mass of people. We escorted Riz to the Corral Sea. I keep knocking out my headphone part over here, so I got a loose connection to my headphones. But escorted that. She walked me over to my relay point that was over below 279 between the stadiums on the North Shore. And it was so much fun. I got to go over the West End Bridge through the West End. On the highway all the way to Smithfield Bridge and everything like that. So like it was just a blast. I really enjoyed it. And oh boy, am I sore. Still feeling it a little bit. I think I got most of them worked out. Thankfully, I've been so busy. I've kept moving for the most part.
The keep moving is important. If you stop moving,
yes,
it gets worse.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. And I'm going to be moving for the next, 4 days out here in Michigan. So, I don't have time to recover. Although, man, I had like a 10-hour sleep. the problem was I did a show in Erie the night before. Big League Pro presents May the 4th Be With You with all the Star Wars-ness to it that you probably saw in that picture there. And so I had like 2 hours of sleep for this thing. No training. I made myself go out and walk 3 miles in my neighborhood with Pittsburgh Steps. Hurt myself falling up the Pittsburgh stairs 4 minutes into my workout. So I'm like, oh no, I'm screwed. It was really cool to see even the apps kind of stuff of tracking, like, I think the chip was in the baton or something. And I'm curious what technology they're using. Ponder, I don't know if you know this a little bit more, that you can elaborate on this. But like you track it in the app and it's got your pace, and we can see our ringer Bill. Thank you for helping us and hanging out with us schlubs by doing a 9-minute mile and upping our time here and basically shaving 2 hours off of what we were doing. It was incredible to kind of watch that and kind of see, okay, she's, Katie did the last two legs herself, and it was like, okay, she's coming up here. Okay, we should go over there. Mm-hmm. It was really fun to be able to track that through the P3R app that they use for the Pittsburgh Marathon. And it's just a lot of technology there, a lot of organization there. I can't believe how much it takes over the city. It's always been like, oh, avoid this event. It's a Pittsburgh Marathon week for me. And now it's like, I was already like, kind of like, oh, I'm going to go down there and like support Katie or something. Right. And then it turns out it's like, yeah, I really supported Katie. as Riz said, the only person, the only one that could talk me into doing this, and Potter, I know you've tried, but, it was the right situation.
Katie's really good. Deadhurst is good about getting people to help out.
Yes.
She is.
It's funny though, because I was like, Saturday morning, if you don't have anybody, tag me in. And then she messages me Thursday, and I'm just like, yeah, okay.
There is something, especially when you get a large crowd like that.
Sure. Yes.
Because if they only had the full marathon, there only be, I don't want to say only, be around 3,300 people, maybe just shy of 4,000. Mm-hmm. But with the half marathoners, that's an additional 11,000.
Yeah.
An additional almost 1,000 people doing, 1,000 teams doing relay teams. And then all of a sudden you got 15,000 people at the start line.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in the starting corral, and you're in, let's say, Corral C, which is the okay. You're decently okay, and the
you're the fun run people.
No, that would be E.
Oh, goes the E. I didn't even know it went
it
to
goes
E.
Goes to E.
Okay.
Yes. Depending, because when you sign up for the half
mm-hmm.
or the full, you put in your pace. Now, they put all the relay people in C.
Okay.
So they have like the elite runners who run like a 5:15 mile pace for the entire marathon. And then they have like the really fast ones in A, the pretty fast ones in B, the relay and like you're pretty good in C. Then they have, okay, you're kind of slow in D. Mm-hmm. And then they have, oh, you're walking the half and you're like 14 to 16 minute per mile pace in E.
Mm-hmm.
So it is strict. I think from the start line to the back of E is over a mile.
Oh, geez. Because it's a massive human. How many people did you say this involved?
It's around, well, Sunday is around 15,000 at the start line.
Mm-hmm. Just at the start line. Yeah.
But that's only Sunday.
Yeah.
Remember, there's a 5K that 5,000 people did on Saturday.
Including Potter.
There's a kids marathon.
Including myself.
Was on Saturday.
Well, right. And I love this because you're talking about the kids marathon, the pet marathon. We have a friend of ours that has some walking issues that I work with in the wrestling world. He's like, man, if they had like something, you know, that was like this, I'd be able to do this. And there's like a mile or 2 mile thing that's like kind of a friend thing that we could do. And he's like, I'm in for next year. I'm like, that's amazing. And again, somebody probably has always been like, you know, much like me, like, you know, even more so than me, maybe saying I could never be a part of this thing, the Pittsburgh Marathon. Right. And to like, there's something for him to be a part of this. That's really freaking cool. So now I don't, not to be the, hey, I'm the marathon guy, you know, and get everybody should join this, but you know, but yeah, I kind of am now. But it's just an awesome experience
for the marathon. When you do a relay, obviously not everyone starts. Are there spots like where you're told, like you said, you were like 279 under the bridge or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, there are spots and then you have your people go to those spots.
Yep. Right. Yeah. You follow the route. Okay. You follow the same, like, I think main route.
I get you follow the route.
Yeah.
I just didn't
know. There are relay points.
They're relay points.
And they'll bus. And they have buses.
You have your teammates.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Figure out what relay point they're going to go to.
Yes.
Right. So everyone picks a leg that you want to do and you know, the legs ahead of time. So like the first leg is the start.
Right.
And this is only, if you're not in Pittsburgh, you won't understand the reference. You basically go up and down the Strip District, over on the north side, around Allegheny, near Allegheny Center, and end up right between the stadiums close to the baseball park. And that's the first. Then the second one starts there, and that's what Sword did, goes West End Bridge, down Carson to Station Square.
Okay. And then it gets out in the East End and all that kind of stuff. So.
Right. And then that's where the fun begins, because you start at Station Square, Birmingham Bridge, up to Oakland.
It's a little small, but that gives you kind of an idea of what that route looks like if you're on video with us. Like, I'm trying to make this go full screen.
Yeah. And then then the next one's like by the museums, and then that you go from there to like West Penn Hospital.
It's a nice tour of the city.
Yeah, and so you basically take a circle. You start and finish around the same part, and you take a big circle around the city. And this year, I did the back half, like Katie did a couple years ago. And it's hilly.
And she did. You skip, and she did like 11 miles doing those two.
Yeah,
I did three, and I'm dead.
And by the way, she did post. Because they WTAE had live 6 hours of live video of the finish line.
Wow.
That if you knew where you were, like I did, I was able to do screen recording and capture me walking slowly and hobbling as I started. Well, I had problems at mile 8, so I walked the last 5 miles in. So that's why I was 3 hours and 20 minutes, and I wanted to be closer to like 3 hours or just under 3 hours this year. But you see Katie finish skipping across the finish line.
Yep.
Literally,
gets to the meet point, because there's a walk-off area for like two or three blocks, and you come around to the point. And the party at the point is kind of fun, that there's a bunch of stuff down there and everything. And, you know, it was a really, it she gets there and she, cause I guess she was listening to wrestling music. Cause we've been, you know, as we, you know, she'll wake me up in the morning on these trips, like playing like DX or Cody Rhodes music, going the, oh, kind of thing. If you know, you know, I guess. Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. I love it. It's a goal too. Cause I kind of want to do, cause now I want to do like a longer leg or, you know, or something like that, you know, I don't think I'm going to do a half marathon or anything like that, unless I really got a fire lit up under my ass. But like, I just want to be able to, it gives me something to strive for now. And I really like that. And, you know, and maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll pick up a 5K or something. If, you know, I know scheduled just never, if a 5K that I can sign up for with 2 days notice when I have a free weekend. So, this is a problem. I can't dedicate to anything, you know, long in advance to be able to do anything, right? Just because of schedules and things. So,
the good thing is that there are tons, and this was something that wasn't around Pittsburgh growing up.
Mm-hmm.
In the 70s and 80s, there was the Great Race, there was the marathon in like 86 mm-hmm. or 85 when it started, and the Great Race had started in 78, but there wasn't a lot of running. And now you almost every weekend there's a 5K somewhere,
mm-hmm.
either run by city parks, run by not there's the people who P3R people who run the marathon. They really focus on like the marathon, the Great Race, the 10 miler, but the marathon's kind of their major, major thing.
I'm looking at Run Like Hell, the Forest Hills 5K, things like that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The one, the other organization which runs a lot is GCXC. Mm. It used to be a company, and then they merged with someone from Cleveland. So it's actually the Greater Cleveland Cross Country.
And I think we
Pittsburgh, but they have races literally 5K, 5 milers,
yeah,
tons of stuff, tons of stuff.
We had the I talked to you about the Hell on Hills 5K we had in Beachview,
mm-hmm.
and we did media for it at Sidekick Media Services at the time. But I've been interested in like at least walking that because it was like very hilly in Beachview, things like that. But we did have one of those companies. I can't remember who it was. I wasn't on the organizational side, but they helped us organize it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's very cool that they have that going on. So. Very cool. So it's going to be next year. It's going to be the first weekend of May, of course, again, which I always love because it's over the weekend of May the 4th, which means I'll probably have a wrestling show that Saturday again and do this on no sleep yet again. So, I love the 5K. I love the Hell on Hills 5K because it starts at the steepest street in America. At the end, Canton Avenue, a couple blocks from my house. That was always a part of my, our old reel was them running alongside the train. There's Canton Avenue with Bethany there, who was one mm-hmm. of the big organizers on it. I think head organizer, I believe. So, very cool thing. So that's fun. Chili, you going to join us? You going to join the Awesome Cast Relay team next year or anything?
Going for the a relay?
Come on, get into it. I'm trying to talk my wrestler friends into it.
I would be willing to do the relay. I can't do all.
Yes,
I can do. I could.
It's a great way to. It's a great way to kind of dip your toe and be a part of it without mm-hmm. you know, completely. You know, like if you're not somebody who can train for a marathon because of your lifestyle, you know, timing and everything like that. Like right, Dave? Like that's what it kind of feels like. You can be a part of this.
Oh, no.
You know, kind of like the idea of like, you know, all these other races. Like it is something that you can do, something that is
mm-hmm.
a challenge. Because it's a challenge, you know.
Oh yeah,
like, I'm in way better shape than I was 5 years ago, but I'm not in this shape. But now I have an idea of what I should be doing and what I should be striving for. Yeah. That was a big wake up call for me.
We did the kids marathon last year, and I had fun with that. I know it's only mm-hmm. a mile, but that was
great.
A lot of fun, not too bad.
Yeah, yeah, and next year the marathon is on May the 4th.
Of course. And there are a couple superheroes out there. Mm-hmm. I know Katie found a luchador. God, what was the other one that I found? I forget. But there was a couple super. Oh, there's a Mario. I know I saw a Mario out there bouncing down Boulevard of the Allies. So a lot of fun. So go check that out. And of course, check out our Sorgatron Prof Pod. I believe on the social medias where you have your pictures, and of course, Stutter's Kate Marie PGH for images and videos.
Before we close up, if you do have kids, and Chilla, you can back me up on this. Check with your school district if you're around Pittsburgh to see about the program, because they start those kids.
Yeah, you're telling me about
this. Early in the year, right? And that's how we found out about it and
got involved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because this year they had 7,400 kids signed up for the kids marathon. And like you said, it's the excitement of the crowd.
Yes.
It's like going to a concert. It's like going to a live wrestling event.
Very, very.
You have all that energy. It's one thing when you're training. Like most of my training runs at lunch on the weekend, I'm running by, I pretty much run by myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, okay, today's going to be a 5 mile run, a 6 mile run, or whatever. And I'm running by myself on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Making sure I don't get run over by traffic. So that's my main thing. But it's different when you're like there with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the excitement. You can people watch. You can see everyone getting excited. It just adds all that energy.
And so if it's over the weekend of Cinco de Mayo, hopefully that means that Taco Mania will also be the follow-up to this. And we can all call ourselves over there for some tacos and beer again. That was fun. I got to at least check the second batch of matches. And somebody was like, hey, can you film a match for me so I can go grab a bite to eat? I was like, do you want me to right now? Because I'm on 2 hours sleep and a marathon. I don't know if this is going to work well for you. I don't know if you want me to at this point. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. So I really appreciate that. So awesome. Any other tips, anything else real quick that had us out on? I know a lot of stuff has been happening this week, but actually maybe not a lot of stuff other than Apple.
Not that I could really think of any major that happened.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I saw that was, and I put it in the group earlier this week, that was kind of running related. And space related.
What a combination.
You got to remember, when you're in space, you're losing muscle mass. You're losing bone density because weightlessness. Same thing with being on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
You're 1-6, so you see where they have some treadmills where they're just basically on the space station, they have 2 hours of exercise they have to do every day.
Right.
So they don't start wasting away.
Yeah.
Mandatory. Mm-hmm. But on the moon, you have 1-6. But what they found out is, if you ever seen in carnivals, they have the crazy thing where the guys or people in the motorcycles go around the barrel on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they found out 1-6 gravity on the moon, you can get going quickly enough where you're running sideways on a barrel. And that equates to running an Earth's gravity. Because you're running fast enough.
Are we talking some moon Olympics going on here?
We're talking moon exercise. So what they got people up on a harness to do 1-6 gravity and had them run basically sideways.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, you know, think about 2001: A Space Odyssey. They had them, you know, in the science fiction running around the outside of the rotating spacecraft. So this is something you could design a moon structure that was set up as a gym, and you could have it where you're just running on the side of the walls going around, because once you get going fast enough, the gravity's low enough, you can just keep yourself going around the outside.
Love it. Love it. Dave Potter, Prop Pod, iPhoneography Podcast, of course. I'm sure you'll probably talk about some of those iPad details on there coming up.
Oh, yeah. We will. Yep, we will definitely, especially the new camera app too.
Excellent. And Chilla at Chilla on social medias. Good to have you back on the show, sir.
Good to be back, sir.
You are missed. We got to hang out soon. Mm-hmm. Out of show. We need to get our podcast hangouts back. I think we're far enough out of COVID. I'm trying. We have some people talking about social events in the studio lately. So it's just like, oh, hey, I remember when people used to come by, and we'll have our Sorgatron Media meetups come back or something here in the summer when things slow down from all this traveling. So
that'd be fun.
There you go.
Be all about it.
awesome. Thank you so much. Again, we will be back a regular in studio kind of show next week. And then we'll be taking a week off again for my holiday, I guess. We'll see you guys next time. You've been our awesome audience. Have an awesome week.